All right. Well, it is great to be here with you. And we're studying the attributes of God. We get to dive into the most fascinating and most impactful study we could study in God's Word. And that's who God is. In fact, we're going to spend all eternity getting to know God. All eternity. He desires for us to know Him now and to know Him personally and intimately. But we will spend the rest of eternity, because God is immense. God is so incredible and awesome and wonderful that it will take all eternity for us even to come to start getting to know Him. He's that awesome and that great and that wonderful. It's the most important study we could study. And we get the privilege of doing that this quarter. I'm going to share things during it, things that I've studied or things that I've read, or also some personal things as we get going. But let me say this up front. A few books have impacted my life, and share those with you. And do encourage you to maybe pick one of these up. It would be very, I believe, helpful for you. Each one of these hit me at a different time in my life. Now, I'll say this. I've read every one of these a few times. In fact, I don't even know where my old copy of this. Anybody have a pink Attributes of God book? Some of y'all do. I mean, mine was, it was way back in the day. But the first time I read this was in college, and I was trying to understand a lot of things going on in my life and plans ahead, and you know, it seemed that God was changing them, and I had some situations that happened in my life that that really rocked my world before I went to college. And so I kind of came at this point where I was like, you know, I had a lot of questions about God, a lot of questions about my relationship with Him and why things would happen and who He is. And so what I did, I asked somebody, and they said, I think you should read The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. That'd be a really good book for you to read. And I read it along with going through the Psalms, and just said, I'm going to just use the Psalms as a prayer guide. You know, I mean, I'm just going to read different Psalms each day and read through this book. And as I did, God did an amazing work to grow my faith far beyond my situation. And at that point, I realized I thought I knew a lot about God, but I was just getting to know Him. You know, and so this book, and I've read it several times, I would highly recommend this. You'll hear me quote from it a lot of times during the study, but it's Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. Well, life went on, and I went into ministry, called in the ministry, married Belinda. We had a child. I was on staff with Campus Outreach. And then we were at this place of trying to figure out life, future, and things again. I went through this time, I would say, was I was very downcast, okay? I was discouraged. I didn't know. There was just a lot hitting me. And so it hit me. Last time I was even close to this, someone recommended I study about God and get to know Him. Maybe God's bidding me to get to know Him better. And so I don't know if I may have asked Reverend Barker, and he may have recommended this book. More than likely I did. Most every big thing in my life I ran by him, and especially back then, and I was on staff at Campus Outreach, and but either he or someone recommended that I read The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. They have the same, they're both A.W. So if you just go and say a book by A.W., you'll get a good one. But anyway, so and I grabbed this book, and yes, yeah, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And I may, no, I didn't put those on there. But during this time, what I figured out is I had a lot of head knowledge, and I had experiential knowledge about God. But this book is extremely devotional. He says things in ways that just calls me to ponder. Each chapter is like 3 pages, okay? They're really brief, maybe 4, not long. But as I did that, my view of God, it totally, again, enriched my view of God. And you can see this is my original book. I've wore it out, and and I've gone through this with multiple people in small groups and recommended it, and I've read it over and over myself. But those two books, if you've never read a book about the attributes of God, either one of these, I would say, great books to start with, and they're fantastic. They have impacted my life over and over again. Another book that I have found very helpful in for my own life and also in helping others in a basic knowledge of God is The God You Can Know by Dan DeHaan. That's a fantastic book. I know I'm giving you four here. I would, you know, again, but this is a really good book that takes a large view of our relationship with God and just says, you know, God is a God we can know, and how do we get to know Him? And it really walks you through that, and it impacted my life as well at another stage in my life. I think it was after the third kid, life is a blur then. But anyway, but this I went through again with several people, and it's a great book. That one's Dan DeHaan. Thank you. The God You Can Know by Dan DeHaan. Great book. Now, if those are 101 or 201, this is 301, but you can't, you know, this is a classic. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. It's a classic. It's a little harder reading, maybe a little longer, but very rich. And each time I've read it, I've come away with something even new, especially even studying through this. I've gone, wow, I didn't notice that the first five times I read this. It seems that he's simple when you read it the first time in some ways, but he's deep where you just continue to get more from him. But that's Knowing God by J.I. Packer. You'll hear me refer to all four of these books. They're great books on the study of knowing God, and they've all impacted me personally in my life. I would agree with, as I was reading through this again even this week and going back through and studying it, I read through the introduction on Knowing God by J.I. Packer, and he begins his whole book with a quote by Spurgeon, the great pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, of times past. And I'm going to read a little bit of that because it's so rich. It's so rich that that's what he began his book with. And I thought, well, if it's good for him, you know, it should be good for me with J.I. Packer. But it really is. It's a great quote, introduction of Spurgeon's sermon on the attributes of God. He did a series on it at least once, preaching through it, and I've read through several of those sermons. But here, let me just read some of this to you. There is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation on the divinity. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than thoughts of God. But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it. Nothing will so enlarge the intelligence, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the deity. And whilst humbling and expanding this great subject is eminently consolatory, oh, there is in contemplating Christ a balm for every wound. In musing of the Father, there is quietus for every grief. In the influence of the Holy Spirit, there is a balsam for every sore. Would you lose sorrow? Would you drown your cares? Then go. Plunge yourselves in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in His immensity, and you shall come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated. I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of sorrow and grief, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? And it's true. Nothing can so feed our soul, can cause us to grow in our faith, can help us walk through the most difficult times as a deep understanding of the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose steadfast love endures forever and whose mercy never comes to an end. It's new every morning. That God, the God of the Bible, understanding, knowing Him is what, again, is what our soul thirsts for. It's what we long for, and it ministers to us in such a personal and special way because God created us. As I was thinking through this, when we have a wrong view of God, I've noticed this. When I do, okay, I'll put it personal. When I have a wrong view of God, and I would put we because I believe I've talked to enough people that this is true, you find out that these things seem to captivate us. You know, fear and anxiety seem to come in, and we become captivated by those, or a dissatisfaction with life, a self-focus, whether it's pride or too low a view of self. We become so self-focused when we have a wrong view of God or not even looking to Him. We become critical or nonchalant, aloof, just uncaring, low confidence, or shallowness in our relationships, or distant feeling from God. When those things come in, we can go immediately and go, what is it about God right now that I need to really meditate on, that He's bidding me to come and to know even more deeply? Because what I found is in my own relationship with God, when those things happen, and look, they happen, okay? We're people. We are still battling the sin within, as we have the Spirit within, but we're battling the sin within until we're with the Lord. And we're in a fallen world, and fallen things happen around us, and it's tough and it's difficult. So they happen. But when we get our mind back and we start meditating and trusting and walking in who God really is, all of a sudden comes in the sunlight or the true joy of the Lord that renews our strength. The joy of the Lord, we have peace, we have faith, we have courage for that day and for what's ahead. We have our love for God and our love for others begins to grow and swells up, and we have fulfilled relationship with Him, and all of a sudden we're looking forward to time with Him. When these times do come, what I found is Satan will say, because they are, did you notice I didn't say if they come? Okay. When they come, when we have these times and when they come in, Satan immediately lies, because he's been practicing this for a long, long time, and he knows us. He knows that we're fallen, and he knows our tendencies, and all of a sudden he'll lie to us, and he'll say, hey, you can't go into the Bible right now, into the Word of God. It'll just drain you. That's totally a lie. But he'll tell you that. Don't read your Word. You need to go do this or go do that and get it, or do nothing. You know, or don't go to church, you don't want to go there. It'll just make you feel, even worse. It'll make you, he's lying to you and he's lying to me. Or don't get in good fellowship with another believer. Or don't tell somebody to pray for you. Don't, because, you can't expose yourself like that. What are they going to think of you? You know, or why would God dare do this? Who, he doesn't love me. He will continue to lie to us. Instead, what we need to do is flip that and know just who God is. And as we do that, we need to see that at those times, in our relationship with Him, it's really a time He's drawing us in to a deeper walk. It may take days, it may take months. Some of mine took months for me to get through and to get to the other side. It may take that, but walk with Him and seek His face and study His Scripture on who He is and the depth of His gospel. That's what He's drawing us in to know Him deeper. He's drawing us in to know just who He is, because our faith is in God. And until we understand the depth of that foundation, it will not be a deep faith. But as God expands our faith, as He expands as he reveals more of who he is to us, our faith in him, as our understanding of him grows, both head and heart, you know, both, an experience that brings both head and heart there. As that grows, then all of a sudden our faith grows, and those fruit come out in greater number in our lives. So Spurgeon was right, you know, and his challenge to us was a good challenge to plunge yourselves, dive headlong in to a deep study of the Godhead, the deepest sea there is ever, and plunge yourself there. So my encouragement is, as we study this, see this as an opportunity for you, and even for me, I will, but as an opportunity for us to take the each week we'll cover one or two attributes. I put them on the other side of that sheet. May not cover all of them, but there's one or two attributes we'll cover each week. And each week there'll be verses that I may not even cover, but I'm going to put verses there for each of those attributes of God. And as I do, go back and meditate on those and prayerfully ask God, take this from my head to my heart at a deeper level this quarter, that my knowledge of you would grow. Now, I know the majority of us, I look around, you've been walking with the Lord, you know, the ones that I know a long time, and you've been through different situations, and yet God says, come to me. I want to reveal myself to you. I want you to know me more and more and more. And so come to the Lord and invest time in his scripture during this quarter. There's no greater study. As we study this passage, a key passage is Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. And he says this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. In these things I delight, declares the Lord. The Lord delights in his steadfast love, in his justice, and his righteousness, in revealing himself to us. And he says, let that be your life quest, to know me. Not all the things that's going on around you temporally right now, whether it's, you know, riches, or whether it's that you're wise on earth compared to others, or that you have this or that. Those things are nothing compared to knowing me, says God. Let that be your heart's passion. Let it be your heart's passion that you would seek me, says God, that you would get to know me. Let that be what you really desire. Well, how do we, why study the attributes? We've already talked about several of these things, so I'll just hit it real quickly. But one thing is, it's what we're created to do. We're created to know God. I mean, he created us for that purpose, and that we would know him, and he bids us to know him. In one of the most, we read this psalm all the time, in Psalm 46, he says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted among the earth. Be still and know. Be still and know that I'm God. And we want to know the God of the Bible. What happens is, as we go through life, and if we aren't constantly in his word and studying and meditating on who he is, all of a sudden, though, instead of knowing the God of who he really is, we'll start making God in our image. And that's what we got to be real careful. Our God becomes too small. Maybe we think he just can't do that, or he's not capable of doing this in me, or he can't handle that situation, or we all of a sudden limit him, and there are no limits to him because he's God. And so we have to be careful to truly get to know him and who he is in his word, and never make sure that we're accurately seeking who he is. The second thing is we study to get to know God because he created this for us, but because also we yearn for that knowledge. We desire to get to know Him. Psalm 42 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Whether we realize it or not, that it's true. Our soul thirsts for the living God. Our soul is thirsty for Him. We hunger and thirst for a true understanding and knowledge of God. That's why when those things come in, that, you know, those things that I named, the fear, anxiety, and so forth and so on, when they come in, our soul's screaming out that we need to know God. Okay? So that's why we run to Him. Those are signs. It's kind of like hunger pains. When you have hunger pains, you go, I'm hungry. Well, when all these things seem to happen in our lives, it's really hunger pains to get to know God in a deeper, deeper way, because our soul thirsts for God, and we need to come as that deer pants for water streams. He is our God. And so also eternal life is to know God. John 17:3, Jesus said this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom they have sent, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, He's bringing us into that creation desire. He's bringing us into that, to fulfill that desire and to fulfill that quest of knowing God personally through Him, through Jesus Christ, that our soul thirsts for. That is eternal life. Eternal life is a knowledge of God. We're going to spend all eternity, as I said, getting to know Him. And then next, as we get to know God, we grow in our intimacy with God. You see, the more we get to know God, the more we get to know His love, the more we get to know who He is, then the more we're going to, our heart is going to be drawn to Him. Okay, the more we get to know Him, the more we're going to want to get to know Him. The more we know His love, the more we're going to want to love Him back. And we will love Him back. The deeper we know Him, the more we're going to want to worship Him. The more we're going to want to follow Him. The more we're going to love Him. It's just a natural result. And so our intimacy grows with Him. The one thing that God has told us He desires is true worshipers, right? In John 4, God desires true worshipers. Well, we can truly worship at the level we truly know the God that we worship. Our worship grows. As our knowledge of God grows, it draws us to worship Him. So the more we get to know Him, the more we will be able to and desire to, and we will long to worship Him with our life and with our mouth and from our very soul. Our worship deepens as we know the God we worship. Our intimacy will grow, and we'll glorify Him just as He called us to do. You know, God called us to glorify Him in everything we say and do. 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Now, that's pretty good stuff right there, but that's not all that I'm teaching on. But praise the Lord, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God's called us as His holy people, His chosen people, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His own people. He's called us to proclaim His excellencies. Therefore, as we proclaim Him through our life and through our words, we only can do that at the level we know Him. So we want to get to know Him so we can even glorify Him even at a greater way, in a greater way. How do we get to know Him? You know, these things are pretty obvious, but we're going to go through them because it's important to remind ourselves of how do we really get to know God. And a few of you have verses. Russell was so nice to hand them out to you, so I don't know who has them, but I'll just call on you just a second. But a few, and we're going to go through and let you read a few verses on these. But how do we get to know God? Well, God revealed himself to us in his scriptures through his holy word. That's the way that we get to know God, is to know who God really is from his scripture, how he has revealed himself. In fact, Tozer's definition of what even an attribute of God is says this: an attribute of God is whatever God has in any way revealed as being true of himself. So how do we get to know God's attributes? Is how he revealed himself through his word. Someone has Psalm 119:130. Read that for us.
The unfolding of thy word gives life. It gives understanding to the simple.
Okay. Amen. So, as God, as we study and read his word, read the Bible, he will unfold it. We will read it. He will unfold it by his Holy Spirit and teach us those things about him. And it gives us understanding. It gives light to us. And as we study, let's remember Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there's secret things of God. There's things that will remain secret even for all eternity. I don't know what those are, but he does. But he says, I've revealed myself to you, and these belong to you and to your children and to your children's children. These are the things that I've revealed myself to you. Come know me. Get to know me. Come and build our relationship. And they're yours. I want you to know me, and I've revealed them. Those belong to you. Study them in the scripture in Deuteronomy 29. And then also his creation. Just God's incredible creation. He's creator and sustainer and Lord over all. His creation reveals who he is. Someone has Psalm 19:1. Amen. As we look through the world and as we look at the things around us, God reveals himself. He reveals himself through creation. He reveals himself through his word. And he reveals himself, of course, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has John 1:14. Read that for us. And John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. It's Jesus Christ that makes God known. When we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I pray that everybody here does today, but when Jesus bids us to come, you know, we've all sinned and we all fall short of his glory. And God has, in order to restore that relationship, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our wrong, our sin, our separation from him. And he rose again and he tells us, come to me, Jesus does. Jesus says, come to me and I will forgive you of all your sins and I will give you my righteousness and I will right your relationship with God. Jesus will do that for you and for me. And if there's anybody that hasn't done that, he's bidden you to come today. Come to me and get to know God, the God who created you, says Christ. And Jesus Christ himself, he reveals God to us. He reveals God to us when we come to know him, like I just briefly explained. He reveals God to us every moment of every day. Jesus Christ is the perfect representation of God. And he reveals him to us through our each day of our life by the Holy Spirit. That's the last way that he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself by the Holy Spirit. What verse did you have, Russell? You didn't? Okay. All right. I was like, I thought I gave Russell a verse, but he gave him my. All right. So, I was afraid that the one I'm about to read you have. So anyway. All right. In John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus Christ, when he comes into our life, he comes into us, and the person of the Holy Spirit, he places in us, and he's our teacher. He will take the word, and he will help take that word and drive it deeper in our hearts and lives. He is working. He's walking alongside us. He comforts, he guides, he teaches. And what we have to do is walk every moment by moment in the Spirit, or in the power of the Spirit. We need to be surrendered to Christ. We come to know Christ by surrendering our life to him and trusting in him. Well, that's how we grow in Christ. Every moment of every day that we live that surrendered life and a life of faith before him. And so there's incredible, that's how we get to know God. Well, I'm going to take the rest of this time and just share one passage. All right, I was looking to see how much time I got. We're going to share one passage on and look at it briefly on what are the results of knowing God. And this is an encounter of God with Moses, and we'll do this a few of his encounters with God. And this encounter of God with Moses in Exodus, we'll just pick a few verses from 33 and 34 and look at them briefly. But as we, this is where, remember, God took the children of Israel and he took them out of Egypt, and he, you know, they crossed the Red Sea, and then he did amazing miracles, and they saw these plagues and they saw these things, and they kept falling away. They didn't trust in who God was. They kept falling away. And so even at the point where God draws Moses up on Mount Sinai and he gives him the Ten Commandments, he's given him his word, and to come down to the people, they fall away again. And remember where they go to idolatry at this point, and they get Aaron to make them an idol, and he makes the golden calf and so forth and so on. And then God's wrath comes upon them. And then all of this is going, but they're still not in the promised land yet. And in fact, God says, look, I'll send an angel with you, but I'm not going with you. And Moses said, oh, Lord, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. You remember that? And so that's where we are in this passage, is in Exodus 32 and now into 33, as I just did that. And then let's look at verse 15, and we'll kind of pick up where he said that. And he said to him, Moses, to God, and if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? He's basically saying, don't send us. And then God said, the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you spoke, and I'll do, for you found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. God knows you by name in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows you and he knows me. Well, Moses then said, please show me your glory. Moses hungered and thirsted for God. And he says, God, show me your glory. Now look, he had just been on the mountain, you know, with God, and God had all these encounters, and now he's hungering and thirst for more. We've all been in those times of richness, right? But we're never satisfied, y'all. Moses was never satisfied, and he's still getting to know God, and he's worshiping now. And he says, show me your glory, God. Show me your glory. And God said, verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh God, Jehovah. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place for me where you shall stand. There is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. There's a lot of lessons here, but that's not what we're studying today, but God, what we do know is God says, you want to know me? I want you to know me. I'm going to reveal myself to you. And then we get to see how God's revealed himself now to Moses and then to us forever. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 34, cut for yourself two tablets of stones like the first, and I'll write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up on the mountain in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout the mountain. Let no flock or herds graze opposite the mountains. So Moses did just that. Verse 4. So Moses cut two tablets of stones like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai. And as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. And the Lord descended. Verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood with him there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So God reveals himself to Moses and to you and me. This is him teaching us, and we'll unpack this as each week goes by. And what did Moses' response? And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped, and he said, if now I've found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin. Take us for your inheritance. And he said, behold, I'm making a covenant before all your people, and I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in the nations. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing. It is an awesome thing that I will do for you. It's an awesome thing that God has done for you and for me, that he's revealed himself to us, that he's let us have this relationship with him, and that he has given us his holy word, and that he bids us now to come into the Holy of Holies and to worship him and to get to know him. And the response we have is the response Moses had. One, the first response is, as we get to know God, there will be a holy awe in our life. God is awesome. Okay, he's full of awe. As we get to know his awesomeness, awe will strike at our heart. We will all of a sudden, when we see God in his glory, as we grow in that, we will immediately see just how small we are. When we used to think we were really big, but now we're saying, wow. Now, it doesn't mean we think of ourselves important. We just see how awesome he is. And it makes ourselves hunger and thirst for an awesome God. We will be awestruck and amazed. It will bring us to humility. Moses immediately, fell to the ground. He bowed his head to the ground in awe and in humility. We will be likewise. We'll realize again just how great and awesome he is. Almighty God, creator, sustainer, Lord over all, sovereign God. And as the psalmist said, we'll see ourselves as a vapor, here today and gone in that instant compared to God's immensity. We'll start seeing ourselves in reality, and we'll be humbled before him, and we will truly be able, then it will move us to repentance. Did you notice that? Moses immediately said, look, we need you. We need forgiveness of our sin. Forgive us of our sin, and we need that. This is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. We'll immediately run to repentance before the Lord, and we will live a lifestyle of repentance. And then we'll run to worship. We will worship the Lord. We will worship Him. We'll fall on our face. Moses fell on his face and he bowed his head to him and he worshiped. That'll be our response, is worship to the Lord, a life of worship. Each day as we, when we wake up, we need to turn our attention on the Lord God Almighty, not the things of this earth or the things around us or all the challenges. Look, I know it's hard, but God says every morning when you wake up, be amazed at me, meditate on me, think about me, remember me, get to know me, and my great gospel for you. As you do, your day will be so much better because you'll be thinking about me and amazed at my love for you. And also, you will live a life of worship. He will move us to a life of worship. We'll listen to the instructions of the Holy Spirit as He guides us along each and every day. And we will hunger and thirst for being with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. Well, on this one, I'm speaking to the choir because you got up and you had to set your clock an hour early to get here. So, you know, we hunger and thirst to be with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. We'll hunger and thirst to sing praises to Him in the sanctuary with His people. We'll hunger and thirst to hear the Word preached because we know the Spirit of God takes the Word of God through the man of God and strikes our heart because if God just decided to do it that way. We will desire to worship Him, and we'll seek Him. We'll seek Him as a way of our life. We'll prioritize time to seek Him, and then we'll serve Him. We will desire that our life would be used for His glory, and we will serve Him through using our gifts, talents, and ability, walking by faith. Those are, when we look at this, and as you do a study of Moses' life, those will be our results in our lives as well. I'm going to conclude with this. I know they're having a party next door, but you hang with me and I'll come up a little closer. Daniel 11:32 says this, "The people who know their God will display strength and take action." The people who know their God, my children, my sons and daughters who know me, will display strength. They will have a strength unexplainable in their heart and life because it's the strength of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they will take action. They'll live for me. They'll walk by faith. They'll do things that others won't do for my glory because they're my people. So knowing God replaces our anxiety with peace. It replaces our fear with faith. It moves us to be men and women of courage, men and women who seek the Lord. And so this quarter, my encouragement is to hunger and thirst for Him and to dive and to plunge yourself into the study of the attributes of God to get to know Him. Well, I'm going to pray for us, but as I do, A.W. Tozer and it has this prayer. I'm going to read his prayer and then I'll pray briefly. Here's the prayer he wrote in Knowledge of the Holy. O Majesty Unspeakable, my soul desires to behold Thee. I cry to Thee from the dust. Yet when I inquire after Thy name, it is secret. Thou art hidden in the light which no man can approach unto. What Thou art cannot be thought or uttered, for Thy glory is ineffable. Still, prophets and psalmists, apostles and saints have encouraged me to believe that I may in some measure know Thee. Therefore I pray, whatever of Thyself Thou hast been pleased to disclose, help me to search out as treasure more precious than rubies or the merchandise of fine gold. For with Thee shall I live when the stars of the twilight are not more and the heavens have vanished away and only Thou remainest. Father, we agree with A.W. Tozer. Our hearts long for You. We know that You are immense. We will spend eternity getting to know You, and we know that so much of what we will learn will still not be nearly who You are. But yet You want us to know You, and You say, come know me. Be still and know who I am. Be still and know me. And so You bid us to come, and You tell us to come to know You, and You want us to know You. and you made us to know you. So tonight, today, this morning, we desire to know you, and we want to know you deeper. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son for us, and now you've drawn us to yourself. Thank you for your Holy Scriptures. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And we pray that you would continue to do that each week of this quarter. Take us deeper into a deep relationship with you. Help us to see this as mining for treasures of gold and rubies that cannot be explained. More precious than is the knowledge of God. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you so much that you will reveal yourself to us through your word and by your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.